Peter denies the Lord is the title of this morning's message. Now, before we get into verse 66, I would like you to quickly back up with me, if you would, back to verse 26, and you'll see why we're going to do that here in a minute. But as you find that, we'll just have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. We're grateful for the fact that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sin, that he rose again from the dead as the only total complete payment for our sin, and then we put our faith in him and him alone, that we have total complete forgiveness of all of our sins the moment we trust Christ. Lord, we pray this morning that as we look at Peter, as we look at his denial of the Lord, that we will learn possibly some practical lessons here about our own lives as we study this event in the life of Peter. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We studied a few weeks ago. If you would, to start off, I want you to go back, like I said. As we begin this morning's study, it's important to remember a few things that we've already studied in the book of Mark. Okay? And to do that, look at verse 26 first, if you would. It says, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." Now, we've already studied that passage, okay? We already looked at the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ tells Peter in advance that he is going to deny the Lord, okay? He tells him that before the cock has crowed twice, he's going to deny him thrice or three times. We already looked at that, okay? So as we think about what we're going to be looking at here this morning about the denial of Peter, we want to remember at the beginning that we've already seen the fact that the Lord has told Peter that he is going to deny him, and what was Peter's response? No way, no how, I'm not going to do it, I'm willing to go and die with you, why then would I deny you, is what Peter says. And the Lord tells him, listen, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crow twice. And so that is the backdrop for what we're going to be looking at here this morning. Now, as I said to you also at the outset here, it's important to remember some things. It's important to remember that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not contradictory accounts of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are complementary accounts. In other words, we need all four of these to get a full picture and a full understanding of what was happening with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry here. Now, just recently, I believe it was at the May conference that we were at Memorial Day weekend, Brother Dave Reed was there and he was teaching. And he started off his sermon by saying that the Bible doesn't waste words. Okay? That every word that is in the Bible is there for a particular reason. Okay? And it's there to teach you something about something that God wants you and I to know and to understand as believers. And I start off the message because I think today is a good example of that. Now, I'll be honest with you. I thought I understood and knew pretty much everything there was to know about Peter's denial of the Lord before I started preparing for this message, okay? And I got into it a ways and realized that there are details here. There are some things that are very interesting, that are very fascinating and fun to study out, to see the particulars and the details of what actually transpired here with these events. Now, that being said, if you would go back to verse 53. Mark chapter 14, look at verse 53. Now, we studied last time, 2 weeks ago, the last time I was here, about the Lord Jesus Christ and his trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin. Okay? We saw a few weeks back that he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. We studied about the agony in the garden and all of those things. And then last time in our previous study, we looked at how the Lord is taken and he's turned over into the hands of the Jewish authorities and so on, and we studied some things about that, which we'll be reviewing here shortly. Verse 53. "And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. Now notice verse 54, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Okay? So, understand what's going on. As the Lord is being taken away to stand before the Jewish authorities, who's following afar off? Peter. Okay? As they enter into the palace of the high priest here, Peter takes a seat according to verse 50, look at verse 54, and Peter followed him afar off. Now that's one tip, right? Is Peter right up there in the midst of this, or is he kind of hanging in the back? Okay? This is the guy that said, I'll never what? I'll never deny you, okay? And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now, we'll have more to say about that in a minute. But, come with me if you would quickly. We already got that. Come with me over to John chapter 18. Now, it's important for you to remember our previous study. Because we pieced together a detailed chronology about what is going on here using all four of the Gospels. And we saw last time that Peter, or I'm sorry, I got Peter in my mind because the sermon's mostly about Peter, but that the Lord Jesus Christ was taken first to a man's house named Annas. Look with me at John chapter 18, verse 12. It says, and the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Okay, so they arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane. We already studied that. Verse 13. And led him away to Annas. What's the next word? First. For he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Now, remember, if you would, it's important that we sort of refresh our memory on this. Hold your hand there if you would and come over to Luke chapter 3 quickly. Come over to Luke chapter 3. Now, John tells us there that what is the relationship between Annas and Caiaphas? He tells you that the relationship is that Annas is the father-in-law of Caiaphas. Okay? So Caiaphas has married the daughter of Annas. Alright? And when the Jewish authorities arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, where do they take him first? It's explicitly stated in the verses. They don't take him to Caiaphas first, they first take him to who? To Annas. Look at Luke chapter 3 if you would. Look at verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests. Singular or plural? Plural. Okay? The word of God came unto John. Now, Caiaphas and Annas are linked. Okay? They are linked in the sense that they are relatives by marriage. Caiaphas being the son-in-law of Annas, right? But both of these men have functioned in the office of what? The high priest. Come with me if you would. Also, very quickly, go over to Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 4. Luke, the author of the book of Acts, ties these two men together in Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 6 in relationship to the office of the high priest. Notice what it says. And Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander. Now, again, three times the Word of God has tied these two individuals together. They are both associated with the office of the high priest. Luke chapter 3 tells you that. Acts chapter 4 tells you that. Come with me back to John 18, if you would. Now, notice very carefully when you look at John 18 something that is, in my opinion, very critical to understanding what we're doing here. Look at verse 13. And they led him away to Annas first. So again, he's first taken to Annas. Then it says, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. So, who is the sitting, ruling, or active high priest at the time of the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's Caiaphas, okay? But both of these men, not only are they related by marriage, but both of these men have both at different times functioned in the office of what? The high priest. The sitting high priest, the ruling high priest at the time, is Caiaphas. And you know that because if you look at the next verse, John 18, look at verse 14. Now Caiaphas, which was he which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. So, who is it that's actually going to give the final ruling or the final order that the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of death? It's not Annas, it's who? It's Caiaphas. But you have to understand that Annas had been the high priest, and I told you this 2 weeks ago, for a very long time, and he is still alive. Now, this has caused some people to think that the person that is really hatching the plot to capture and kill the Lord Jesus Christ is Annas, which is why they would take him to Annas before they take him to Caiaphas. But whatever the speculation is, the verses are clear here about the fact that he goes to Annas first, about the fact that Caiaphas is the son-in-law of Annas, and about the fact that Caiaphas is the reigning or the ruling high priest that year in Israel, and that it is Caiaphas that is going to be the one that gives the final order here. Okay, so you got to remember from our last study that Jesus taken Annas first before he sent to Caiaphas, the reigning high priest, and after standing before Annas, Jesus was sent bound to Caiaphas. Look at verse 24. Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. Jesus stands before Annas first. And I believe that verse 19, John chapter 18, verse 19, down through verse 23, is the Word of God's account of Jesus' interaction with Annas. When Jesus is done and being interrogated by Annas, Annas sends him bound. You know, and I don't know how far it is. These folks are relatives. They might live very close. They might live on the other side of town. I tend to probably think they live very close together. Once he stood before Annas, Annas sends him bound to who? To Caiaphas. Now, we went over all that information in the previous study. Come back with me now, if you would, to Mark chapter 16. No, Mark chapter 14, the second time I said that. Mark chapter 14, verse 66. So we've already seen Peter here in Mark 14 in verse 53 and 54 following afar off and taking a seat with the servants around the fire at the palace of the high priest. Now don't get confused. Are there two people here that the Word of God is identifying as being the high priest? There's Annas and there's who? The only difference is who's the active reigning high priest at the time? Caiaphas. Now keep all this in mind, if you will, verse 66. As Peter, notice, was beneath, where? In the palace. So, is Peter in the same physical location as Christ? He's in the same building, but is he in the same room? No. Okay? It's very clear. Look at the verse again, verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. So Peter is in the palace. He's in a different spot, though, than where the high priest has the Lord Jesus Christ at the time. All right? And notice verse 66 again. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 68. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. So what's Peter's reaction here? The woman comes to him and she says, hey, weren't you with Jesus of Nazareth too? And he goes, not me. I don't know what you're talking about. Wasn't me. So, does he play dumb here? So Peter is standing in the palace, warming himself by the fire, and one of the maids of the high priest said unto him, thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. And according to verse 68, not only does Peter deny that he knows the Lord, but he claims to not understand what the maid is even saying. Look at verse 68 again. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. So he leaves wherever the fire is at and goes to this other area that the Word of God identifies as the porch. So I want to give you this scenario here, okay? So the first instance is around the fire. Maid number one comes and questions him. He denies him the first time. Then Peter goes onto the porch, and immediately as he's doing this, what happens? The cock crew. How many times? Now remember what Jesus said. He said, before the cock crows, how many times? Twice, you're going to deny me how many times? Three times. So immediately following the first denial, the cock crows here. Come with me if you would, compare this. Go over to Matthew chapter 26. Go over to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 69. Now you have to understand, it's very common, and if I'm wrong about some of the stuff, I'm sure Bud will be able to shed some light on it. But the way I understand this is, when you enter into the palace of the high priest, there's some type of an open courtyard. And then you go in to the actual building. Peter is sitting with, and probably some columns and pillars and some type of a porch or so on, where all this stuff is occurring. Look at Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace. So he's in the palace, but he's not in the building. He's not in the house, as it were. Okay? But he's in the same building. He's not in the same room or in the same place as where Christ is actually being questioned. Verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him, said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. So I want you to understand that the first time these questions is around the fire. Alright? He denies. He goes to the porch. When he goes to the porch, what happens? The cock crows the first time. Come with me if you would to another parallel passage. Go to Luke chapter 22. Go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Look at verse 54. And they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. All right? So it's pretty obvious that he makes an outright blatant denial here. If you would come back to Mark chapter 14, and let's continue on with the story here. Mark chapter 14, verse 69 now. So at the end of verse 68, but he denied him, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest, and he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. Verse 69. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it what? Again. So, how many times is he denied now? Twice. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but as I read this, I see that he is standing there in the hall by the fire where the fire is burning. He's questioned one time by the first maid. He denies it. He goes to the porch. Okay? The cock crows. And then when he goes to the porch, he's not on the porch very long before somebody asks him a second time and says, look at verse 69. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it what? Again. Let's go. So on the porch now. On the porch, maid number two questions him, and he denies Christ what? For the second time. Now I want you to think about this just for a minute. Come over to Matthew chapter 26. Come over to Matthew chapter 26 again, and look with me at verse 71. It says, "And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man." Now this is interesting, okay? Because the first time, what is his reaction? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus who? Who are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Right? But now the second time, notice what it says in Matthew here. Look at verse Look at verse 72. And again he denied him with what? An oath. Now he swears an oath that he doesn't know who he is. Okay? Come over to Luke chapter 22. I'll have more to say about that in a minute. Come over to Luke chapter 22. Look with me at verse 58. We kind of already read it a little bit. Luke chapter 22, verse 58, it says, verse 56. And a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. Verse 57, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said what? Now I want you to notice. Notice there in verse 59. No, I'm sorry, verse 58. And after a little what? So is there a lot of time that transpires between the first denial and the second? No. They seem to be in a very short window of time that the first denial occurs in the hall around the fire and that the second denial occurs out on the porch as he's questioned by the second maid. Okay? Now, it's a very short amount of time according to what Luke says. Now I want you to come back with me. We're building a case here now. Go back with me to Mark 14 and look at verse 70 now. So we're going through this systematically, looking at all of the relevant verses to try to understand exactly what's going on here. Look at Mark chapter 14, verse 70. The first sentence in verse 70 is the reaction to the second denial. And he denied it again. Okay? So that's the second denial. Now notice, in a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. Now what is that about? Okay? Couple things I want to point out to you here, okay? So Peter's first two denials appear to have happened very close to one another, possibly within minutes of each other. It's difficult to say exactly. Now, a careful reading of verse 70 will note the expression, a little after. Now, thereby indicating that some time elapses in between Peter's second and third denial. According to verse 70, the third time Peter's affiliation with Christ is questioned is on the account of his speech. Look with me at verse 70 again. It says, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. You know what? When you're down in Tennessee, they know you're from the north. How do they know? You don't talk like them, right? You don't have the same accent. I don't know how many times I'm driving down, and it's y'all, right, all the time, all that sort of thing, right? And you know you're in the south because they don't talk like you, right? So these people, they listen to Peter talking. Apparently he's talking to the people there around the fire, and they go, listen, you gotta be one of Jesus' guys because your speech is giving you away. You clearly are from where? Galilee. Okay, that's what's going on in verse 70. His speech is giving him away as to where he is from, and they say at the end of verse 70, they say, thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. In other words, you talk like people from where? From Galilee. Come with me over, if you would, to Matthew 26 again. Come over to Matthew chapter 26. Isn't it true that you can figure out where people are from quite often just by the way they talk? Okay? Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 73. And after a while, doesn't say a little while, it says a what? A while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Again, why did his speech betray him? Because he talked like he was from where? Galilee. He had the accent, he had the verbiage, he had the language down, and everybody knew that he was from Galilee based on the way he was talking. Come over to Luke 22. Come over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, look at verse 59. Now this verse is interesting. Okay? Because notice what it says. We just read, look at verse 58 first. It says, and after a little while, another saw him. So the phrase a little while, does that indicate a big period of time or a short period of time? Okay? Verse 58, and after a little while another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. Verse 59. Notice, and about the space of 1 hour after. So how long has transpired now between the second denial and the third? An hour. The Word of God says it's been an hour. Verse 59. And about the space of one hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Now, I want to point out just a couple of things to you here, okay? So according to Luke, the amount of time between the second and third denial was 1 hour. In addition, Luke also mentions the fact that Peter was a Galilean. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke all say that Peter is his language, his speech, gives him away as the fact that he is a Galilean, and he's recognized and identifying as being one of the apostles because of this fact that Peter has. Come back to me, if you would, to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. I want you to notice something else here about Peter. Mark chapter 14, look at verse 71. Mark chapter 14, verse 71. Actually, I want you to look at the end of verse 70 first. It says, and he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely, thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. Verse 71. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. Now, what has happened to Peter's behavior? What has happened to Peter's behavior as we go through this, okay? I want to point something out to you, okay? In the first denial, let's look at the first denial here. In the first denial, go back with me if you would, look at verse 68. Mark chapter 14, verse 68. And he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. How does Peter play the first denial? Listen, man, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay? What about the second denial? Come over to Matthew. Come over to Matthew chapter 26 again. Matthew 26, look at verse 72. Peter's bad behavior, Peter's poor behavior escalates with each one of these denials. Okay? He starts out by simply saying what? I don't know what you're talking about. Okay? Now notice what he does here. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 72. And again he denied with what? I swear on my mama's grave I don't know who he is. Right? I swear on a Bible, whatever. He swears an oath that I don't know who Jesus is. The first time he plays stupid, right? Well, I don't know, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who he is. The second time he steps it up, and now he denies with an oath that he doesn't know who the Lord is. Okay? Now, the third time, go back to Mark, we see him responding how? Mark chapter 14, look at verse 71. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye what? Is Peter's behavior here with each denial clearly getting worse? Folks, can I tell you? When he denies that he knows the Lord, what is he fundamentally doing? Is he telling the truth? So if he's not telling the truth, what is he doing? So he lies. And the first time he lies, he says, I don't know what you're talking about. The second time he lies, now to back up the lie, he feels he has to what? Swear an oath. The third time he lies, what does he do? He basically curses and bawls out the Lord to prove to the people that he doesn't what? What's the point here? Folks, when we tell lies, no matter how big, how small, about whatever it is, does the lie almost always followed by a series of bad behavior. And the more times you tell that lie, does your surrounding behavior often escalate in relationship to that lie? Because you know you're lying and you have to convince everybody that you're telling what? The truth. And so as Peter is continually questioned here, his behavior is getting worse and worse as he feels he has to justify and prove to the people around him that he is not involved. Now, I think there's a practical lesson here, because when we think about our own behavior in life, and we think about the fact that we all lie and have lied and will lie in the future, we have to understand that with lying almost always comes along other side effects or other behaviors that go along with it to substantiate the lie. So here Peter, every time he denies or lies that he knows the Lord, is his behavior getting worse and worse and worse. Okay? So there's a practical thing here that I think teaches us something about what happens when we tell lies. Now remember, this is the guy that said what? I'll never deny you. Now here not only is he denying him, but his behavior in relationship to each denial is getting progressively worse. Now watch what's going to happen here. It's going to get really embarrassing for Peter, as you'll see here in a second. So, come back with me if you would to Mark. Go back to Mark. You're probably in Mark. My page is blue. Mark 14 now, verse 72. Verse 72. And the second time, the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow thrice, thou shalt twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Does Peter fall under conviction here for what he's done? He does. So he denies the third time, cursing and swearing. As soon as he's done, what happens? The cock crows the second time. Okay, now, so immediately following Peter's third denial, the cock crew for the second time, and Peter remembered what the Lord had said unto him. Okay, let's compare a few things here. Come over to Matthew 26. Come over to Matthew chapter 26. You ever lied and told another lie to cover the first lie? And then you got to tell another lie, and before you know it, you don't even remember what's going on. Okay? The behavior of Peter was getting worse all through this scenario. Look at verse 74. Matthew 26, verse 74. Verse 73, and after a while, came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept, how? Bitterly. Is Peter convicted here? But it gets a little bit worse. Come over to Luke chapter 22. Come over to Luke chapter 22. Verse 59. Now remember, when this whole scenario started, was Peter in the same building? Was he in the same room as the Lord when all this started? Now watch what happens. Verse 60 now. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. The words aren't even out of his mouth totally before that rooster's what? Crowing the second time. Now, verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Folks, the only way you can square that is that the Lord is present and hears his final denial. Because notice what the verse says. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. What is it that causes Peter to remember what the Lord said? The fact that the Lord what? Looks at him. Can you imagine cursing and swearing and bawling him out while not knowing maybe that he's there, and you turn around and he's looking right at you and you're like, oh, I just did what I said I wouldn't what? Do. I just did what he told me I would do that I vehemently said I would not do. Verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept how? Now, a couple things here about this. Number one, while the words of this third denial were in the process of coming out of Peter's mouth, the cock crowed the second time. Luke alone records the fact that Peter's third denial was made in the presence of who? Christ. Because Christ physically looks at him. Now, I showed you in the other verses that early on in the denial, the first and the second, is Jesus in the same vicinity as Peter? No, because he was in a different part of the house. I showed you that when we looked at that. Third, according to Luke, it was the fact that Christ looked upon Peter after this third denial that causes Peter to remember what the Lord had said unto them. Unto him. Look at verse 61 again, very specifically. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Notice the next sentence. And Peter what? What is it that causes Peter to remember what God said to him? It's the fact that the Lord does what? Looks at him. Can you imagine the guilt Peter felt? It's impossible to comprehend. Because if the Lord is there to look at him, it seems to me that the Lord is also there to hear what he said about him. So Peter's behavior has gone from, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, to, I swear I wasn't there, to, you know, curse God and blah, 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 everything else, and then the Lord, he looks over and who's staring at him? Who's looking at him? Christ. And verse 62 says that Peter went out and wept how? Now, I want from John, that somehow these got out of order. Hang on a minute here. This is one I want. Come over to John 18 again. Come over to John 18. Now, a couple things. Look at verse 15. John 18, verse 15. Now, in verse 13, they've taken him to Annas first. Right? We looked at that already early in the sermon. We saw that Caiaphas was the son-in-law of Annas. We saw that Caiaphas was the active and reigning high priest. Now look what it says in verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple that was well known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Verse 16. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, which I think is probably Lazarus, and spake unto her. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Let's start over verse 16. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. So Peter, we learn from John, that is Peter just automatically granted access to the palace. And by the way, whose palace are they entering here? They're not entering the palace of Caiaphas, they're entering the palace of who? Annas. Okay? So this other disciple goes to the person that's guarding the door and asks and arranges for Peter to be able to do what? Enter into the palace. Look at verse 16. But Peter stood at the door without. And then went that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought her, and brought in Peter. Verse 17, then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter. By the way, if there's a woman standing at the door, keeping the door, would this be a maid or a servant of the high priest? Now notice, then verse 17, then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art thou not also one of this man's disciples? And he said what? I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now you get verse 19, and the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples, and his doctrine and so on. And so before we go any further and it gets confusing, I want to stop and just go back over a few things, okay? So here's what we've learned from the other passages. This would be Matthew, Mark, and Luke, okay? Number one, two maids in relatively close proximity to one another questioned Peter about his association with Christ. Both times Peter denies knowing Christ. Okay? We learn from the book of Luke that 1 hour later, Peter is questioned a third time, at which time he denies knowing Christ. So the first two happen relatively close together. The third one happens after an hour. We've established that in the other verses. And we also established by looking at Luke that Jesus is in close enough proximity to Peter to hear his third denial and to look at him according to who? Luke. We've also seen that when the account starts, that Jesus is somewhere else within the palace apart from Peter. So we've established all of these things. Now we come to the book of John, and John seems to be taking all this stuff and throwing it all out of whack. Okay? Now, I do not believe, as I said at the beginning, that these are not contradictory accounts. These are complementary accounts, and the answer is to try to study the Word and put everything together in the most logical manner to make it make sense. So, from John, what are the details that we get? Look at verse 26. Before we go to verse 26, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we are specifically told that the first two people that question the Lord are both what? Maids. Are we told who the third person is? No. Look at verse 26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Now understand, who is this third questioner? This third questioner is the brother, the kinsman, of the guy in the garden whose ear Peter what? So do you think the guy remembers him? Probably. He just watched Peter cut the ear off of his brother. Okay? And notice what it says. Look at the end of the verse. Look at verse 26. He says, did not I see thee in the garden with him? So this man, this individual, this person here, he was a part of the band, he was a part of the company that went into the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest who? Jesus. So then he was also a member of the group, a member of the company, a member of the band that takes Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane and brings him to the house of the high priest Annas. Correct? And now, the third person to question Peter about whether he knows the Lord, we are now told, is the brother of the guy whose ear Peter cut off. John tells you that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't tell you that. So this third person to question Peter was the relative of the man whose ear Peter cut off in the garden. That means the following. The person was with Peter and Christ in the garden. And that this person was one of the people who led Jesus bound to the house of Annas. Now, it is reasonable to assume, this is the second point now on the slide, it is reasonable to assume that if this person were part of the group that brought Jesus bound to Annas, look at John 18, look at verse 12, notice, and then the band And the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and what? What'd they do? Bound him. Verse 13, and led him away to Annas what? First. So this man, that third questioner of Peter, he is the brother of the guy whose ear Peter cut off, and he was in the garden with his brother, with Christ, and with Peter, and he sees Peter and he says, hey, I saw you, I recognize you, you were there in the garden, you were there when we arrested him, when my brother's ear was what? Cut off. Verse 26 now, one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Verse 27, and Peter denied what? Again. And immediately the cock what? So who's the third questioner of Peter? This guy, this member of this band that bound the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it seems to me to be reasonable to assume that if this individual, this third questioner of Peter, was in the garden, and that if he was a member of the band that brought Jesus captive to Annas, that he would also then be a member of the group that is going to transport Jesus from the house of Annas to the house of who? Look at verse 24. Now Annas had sent him what? Bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. Folks, I believe that verses 19 through 23 are John's account of the exchange in the house of Annas between Annas and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sends him to Caiaphas at the end of the passage in verse 24. Now, let me try to wrap all this together so that you can understand where I'm going with this. Now, let me preface this by saying, in my own opinion, it's my own personal, private, subjective opinion of what I think the verses are teaching. You're free to disagree if you don't want to or you think there's a better explanation. I'd be willing to entertain it. But as of right now, this is the way I understand what's going on here. Okay? In my opinion, this is the most logical place for Peter's denial to have occurred. Is in Jesus being transported from the house of Annas to the house of Caiaphas. Because it places all three of the major players in Peter's denial together at the same space of time. Now, who's involved? You have the soldier that questions Peter, right? You have Peter that answers, and you have who that looks at him? Christ. So all three of those individuals have to be present at the same time in this account of the third denial, correct? They all have to be there. The guy that questions Peter, Peter that answers a question, and the Lord that immediately what? Looks at him. Where does it fit in the chronology that they would once again be back together into the same general area for this story to have transpired? It would have been as Annas was releasing Christ from his custody back into the hands of these men to transport him to who? Now remember, Luke told you that there was 1 hour that transpired between the second denial and the what? Third denial. Now think with me through this, if you would. So, as this guard is escorting Jesus, bound from the house of Annas to the house of Caiaphas, he spots Peter and questions him. This guy was in the garden. He was one of the guys that arrested the Lord. He's one of the guys that brought him to the house of Annas. And now I believe he's escorting him to the house of Caiaphas. And as he's walking through the house, as it were, he looks and he sees who? He says, hey, weren't you there too? And Peter says what? Curses, blah, 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 no. Right? So, as this guard is escorting Jesus bound from the house of Annas to the house of Caiaphas, he spots Peter and questions him. Peter denies Christ, cursing and swearing. Jesus then looks at Peter, causing him to remember what Jesus had previously said about his denial. That means that John chapter 18, look at verse 25. John chapter 18, verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, and they said therefore unto him, art thou not one of his disciples? And he denied it and said, what? I am not. That means that John chapter 18, verse 25 occurred while Jesus was inside the house of Annas being questioned, and that John chapter 18, verses 26 and 27 occurred while Jesus was being transported from Annas to Caiaphas. Now, I hope you're following all that. In case you haven't, we'll break it down even more simply here. So, based upon the combined testimony of all the verses that we've looked at, I believe that Peter's first two denials occur at the house of Annas. Okay? Now let me give you another reason why I think that, okay? Hold your hand here and come over to, and I gotta remember where it is, and I'm sure, just give me one moment. I wasn't planning on doing this, but it popped into my head just a second ago. Look at, I believe it's Luke. Go to Luke 22 if you would. Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, and I want verse 66. What did Jesus, and get another verse, get Mark 14 again also. So Luke 22 and Mark 14. Luke 22 and Mark 14. Notice carefully. Mark chapter 14, look at verse 30. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this what? This what? Night. Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me how many times? Now come with me back to Luke. Go to Luke chapter 22, look at verse 66. When was Jesus finally brought before the chief? Now, let me back up. I'm going a mile a minute here, okay? Now, understand. Jesus said, during this night, you're gonna what? You're gonna deny me. How many times? Three times. Before the cock crows, how many times? Twice. Now watch, go to Luke chapter 22, verse 66. And as soon as it was what? Day. The elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, folks, the thing with Annas happens when? It happens in the middle of the night. Jesus, I believe, that based upon the combined testimony of all the verses that we've looked at, that Peter's first two denials occur at the house of Annas. While Jesus is being questioned, an hour later, you get that from Luke, after questioning Jesus, go back to John chapter 18, go back to John chapter 18, look at verse 19. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine, and Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. If well, why smitest thou me? Verse 24, now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. Now you remember, folks, that last time, that Matthew, that Mark, and that Luke all say that Jesus said what? During his trial. He said nothing. Yet John says that he had this big long conversation with the high priest. Well, the only way you can square those two things is if you understand that they took him first to Annas, and then when Annas was done with him, they sent him to who? To Caiaphas. The betrayal of Peter's betrayal occurs, I believe, not at the house of Caiaphas, but at the house of the high priest Annas. Now, back to my prepared remarks on this. An hour later, after questioning Jesus, the questioning would be John chapter 18, verse 19 through 23 that we just read. Annas sends Jesus bound unto Caiaphas. That'd be John 18, verse 24. Now, Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. As Jesus is being transported from Annas to Caiaphas, possibly still in the house of Annas, Peter is spotted by the guard and questioned. Peter now, with Christ in close proximity, because he's being transported and moved, denies the Lord for the third time. The cock obviously then crows the second time, and Jesus looks at Peter, causing him to be reminded about what Christ had told him regarding his denial. Peter then goes out and weeps how? Bitterly. You know, folks, Peter gets a bad rap for a lot of things. Okay? There's the whole incident there where he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and Jesus says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," and then he talks to him about how he's going to have to die, and Peter says, "What? Be it far from thee, Lord," and Christ says, "Get thee behind me," what? Peter goes from the heights of seeming understanding and knowing what's going on to the depths of not really having a clue about what's going on. And here, after he vehemently tells the Lord, "I'll never deny you, I'll never forsake you, I'll never do any of those things," we see him actually do what Christ said he would, shock of all shocks, that Christ knows what he's talking about, right? But Peter's behavior gets worse and worse and worse. Come with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. You know, I heard it said once that no one goes into outright abject sin without a long pattern of evil thinking preceding it. Okay? I want you to look at these verses here. Once Peter lies, what happens? Does it get worse for him? Okay? Now notice what happens here. Romans 3, verse 13. Paul's talking here about the unsaved. He says, actually in verse 9, he says, "What then, are we better than they? No one, no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." Verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Now watch verse 13. Their throat. Where's your throat? Their throat is an open sepulcher. Notice the next. "With their tongues, they have used" what? "Deceit." So you start at the throat and you work your way forward to what? The tongue. "And the poison of asps is under their" what? "Lips." Then he says, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." You notice a progression there? He starts at what? The throat. Then he says, their throat is an open what? Then he moves on and he says, their tongue. With their tongues they have used what? Then he moves on and he says, the poison of asps is under their what? Lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. See, verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. See, it starts where? It starts on the inside. And as it starts on the inside, as the sin starts on the inside and works its way to the outside, eventually the feet are led, in verse 15, their feet are swift to shed what? Destruction and misery are in their ways, in the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we're not going to that verse to suggest that that's what Peter was. We're going to those verses as an illustration of what happens with sin. It starts as an idea. and you think about it, and you entertain it, and you think about it some more, and before you know it, you're actually what? You're actually doing it. In conclusion, I want you to come to Philippians chapter 4. Folks, our thought life, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he says, he talks to them about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. He writes in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of what? Your mind. See, what you and I think about, where we allow our mind to go, is going to determine a lot about what we say, where we go, and what we do. And what we allow our mind to entertain is where we often and most frequently will end up. Which is why Paul says that what you have to do is bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The way you do that is by renewing your what? Your mind. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Josh touched on this in the Sunday school hour. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What are you told to do in that verse? You're told to focus your mind and your mental attention on that stuff. So let me ask you this, how do you do that? Watching CNN, Fox News, and everything else? Watching the ball game? Don't get me wrong, I love a ball game. Okay? I love it just as much as the next guy. Where do you find things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, and virtuous? You find them where? You find them in the Word of God. So Paul says that the way we have victory over sin is to focus your mind on the right thing. Because when you renew your mind, you give the Spirit of God which is in you something to work with so that you can walk in the Spirit and not after what? The flesh. Folks, there's a pattern there with Peter. There's a pattern of how his behavior deteriorated every time he told a lie. I believe that that same or similar understanding and pattern is true for you and I today. And as we conclude this message, I think what we need to do as a body of believers is we need to make a renewed focus and commitment on bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. About renewing our mind, washing our mind in the Word of God. And thinking on the things that we're supposed to think about. Folks, do you know that your emotions follow what you think about? They do. I told you a few weeks that I think your emotions are stupid. You watch a movie, you know it's a movie, and the music is going and everything, and if it's a scary movie, you're all hunkered down and you're like, you're feeling like you're in the movie and you're all scared, right? Why? Because your mind is where? Have you ever been thinking about something that happened to you 10, 20, 30 years ago and you get just as mad, angry, and upset about it now as you did the day it happened? Why? Because your emotional self follows what you what? Think about. So if you're having emotional trouble, you need to think on what? These things. You need to set your mind and set your affections on things where? Above. Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And when you allow those things to be the attention in your life, the focus of your life, then the life of Christ will live itself out through you in the details of your life. That's what Paul's talking about. Let's not be Peter. Let's understand what happened with Peter. Let's recognize a pattern there. And let's choose to function differently. Not on the power of our own flesh. Because your flesh can't do anything God will be happy with. But rely exclusively on the power of the written Word of God and His Holy Spirit living in you to renew your mind and think about the things that we should think about. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for the Word of God. We're grateful for the example of Peter. We pray that as we study through the details of Peter's betrayal, that we would have clarity from Your Word about what actually happened, but that we would also learn a lesson about the effects of sin in our life. We're grateful for the fact that we are a body of believers. I am personally so grateful for understanding grace. Because grace tells me that every single person in this room is in the same position that I'm in. We're saved, we're justified, we're seated at the right hand of God, we're accepted in the Beloved, yet we are all still in this body of flesh that is subject to sin. None of us has overcome the flesh. None of us has been able to totally... It's been put to death positionally in the death of Christ and our identification with Him, but we still, as Paul says in Romans 7, we still live in a body that is subject to the sin. Understanding this, we can all understand that we are all in the same boat. And if we can understand that, we can understand that we as a body of believers need to be a body of believers together to comfort those that need comforting, to mourn with those that need mourning, to help those that need help, so that the body, this is how the body of Christ edifies itself. We're grateful for these truths and for the fact that we are saved freely by Your shed blood. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.